This episode of the Crow Pod is brought to you by Rascals Creative. Daringly different entertainment concepts. If you need bespoke events, live entertainment, filming and production work, whatever you need, they got you covered. Go check out rascals-creative.co.uk. And, of course, also copelandstreetwear.co.uk. Go get all your Rangers gear from them. They got some really nice stuff over there. If you would like to support the Crow Pod like these people have, just head over to anchor.fm/crowpod and click on the support button. Supporters at the $4.99 level get one readout per month for themselves or their business or charity. If you go for the $9.99 level, like our buddies here at Rascal Creative and our good friend John O'Fraser has, then we will check you every single episode on the Crow Pod, and that goes out on both the Crow Pod Network and the Heart and Hand Network. So again, anchor.fm/crowpod, and just click on the support button.
You mean I have pneumonia?
Yes.
Juvenile diabetes?
Yes.
Hysterical pregnancy?
A little bit, yes. You also have several diseases that have just been discovered in you.
I see. You're sure you just haven't made thousands of mistakes?
No, I'm afraid not.
Well, this sounds like bad news.
Well, you'd think so, but all of your diseases are in perfect balance. If you have a moment, I can explain.
Well,
here's the door to your body, you see? And these are oversized novelty germs. That's influenza, that's bronchitis, and this cute little cuddle bug is pancreatic cancer. Here's what happens when they all try to get through the door at once. Move it, shout ahead. We call it Three Stooges syndrome.
So what you're saying is I'm indestructible.
Oh, no. In fact, even a slight breeze could...
Indestructible.
Pulled in just behind the bridge. He lays her down. He frowns. Gee, my life's a funny thing. Am I still
welcome back to another episode of the Crow Pod. And of course, joining me, Shane, back from the hospital, is David. Hi, David.
Yeah, welcome back to you as well. Haven't missed the Crow Pod, which, you know, keeps that remarkable run going. But
yes,
you gave it your best go this week.
I really did. Hi, Todd. How are you?
Shane, I too was broken up by Jermaine Defoe leaving Rangers.
Yeah,
but
yeah, it was
dude.
It was
you, some people just take things a little too seriously.
Too far. Too far.
It was the shock of finding out Cammy was coming back. It just,
what?
It's been all go this week in the Rangers family. But can I just say thank you, incidentally, to the Celtic supporter who, when I tweeted, about how proud I was about Shane coming through his heart attack with, you know, so stoically, that decided that not me slagging Celtic or anything along those lines, but that was what would trigger a 20 reply thread of Sevco. I'm gonna go. We're maybe being unfair here to judge a man by his actions, but I'm gonna go with Nutter. And I think
let me say, get this out of the way. I mean, firstly, I want to thank everybody, especially that fucking asshole, for their very, very kind messages.
Yeah,
because it helped the time go by quicker in the hospital. Let me say, and I think I can safely say this now, no matter how minor or mild, as the doctors have described it to me, the heart attack, it's still very, very painful and extremely terrifying.
Sure.
And let me, like, 0 out of 10, do not recommend.
1 star.
Yeah, 1 star Yelp review on heart attacks.
That would be great. You've got to set up page Yelp.
I mean, honestly, that was like the longest 50 minutes of my life. Sure. Like, I'd just gotten out of the shower. You know, I was getting dry. I was just buttoning up my shirt and my whole chest started tightening up. And then your throat, your arms start going numb. You can't get a breath. And it really peaked, like, right as I got to the A&E. So, which is a good time for it too, I guess.
Yeah. Wow.
I love that sunny outlook.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and honestly, like the hospital staff, I was at Swedish American Hospital here in town. I couldn't say enough. You know, they got me in and out in just a couple of days, which is fucking incredible what they can do. And you know, and I mean, let me just say again, I know we've talked about this on the show a lot. There's a lot of really fucking sick people out there right now because they won't go get their fucking jabs. And you know what? Next time it might be your dad who has a heart attack and there may not be a bed available for him in the hospital. Go get your fucking shots. Yes. Seriously. Yes. I mean, like that hospital was at like 92% capacity in their critical care units. So I was lucky that they had, you know, place available for me and I didn't have to get like transferred in the back of an ambulance to another hospital in the region, and God knows how long that would have taken. So but yeah, no, I mean, obviously, you know, the big, just anyway, let's all say goodbye to a massive shagger, Jermaine Defoe. Good Lord. What a man.
There are thousands of women in the greater Glasgow area that are having their knickers at half mast now.
I think that was partially, you know, the situation before he left, in all honesty. No, wonderful man. A goal every 75 minutes playing for Rangers. Yeah, a goal every 75 minutes on the pitch.
And that goal against Livingston.
Yes.
I mean, it's art, isn't it? I mean, you could get one of these, you know, video installations and stick it up in the Gallery of Modern Art in Glasgow City Centre. It was just so beautiful. And he was just, in terms of that raw, natural, and then honed finishing ability, it was wonderful. But just a classy guy, and just somebody I'm really glad we got to see. And there is always something special about somebody coming from the outside and just totally falling in love with the place and just, you know, cannot get enough of it.
It says a lot about players that do, and it says even more about players who don't. And when we find that healthy mix of people that, you know, after they play with us, they go, you know what, I'm going to live here. Like, it's like, that is a huge testament to the club. But I can't remember which episode I was listening to just recently where you brought up Givarsh. I was like, that guy, that like, every time he took the field, it wasn't even a phrase at the time, but I had the equivalent of this fucking guy. Like, I just every single time, that was a guy who could not get out of there fast enough. And I would gladly have driven him to the airport every single goddamn time.
And then backed over him after you dropped
him. Yeah.
He was one of these guys, and you do get them rarely in football when you think of the amount of footballers, but rarely you do get them that just cannot function away from their hometown. And he was exactly like that when he left Auxerre to go to Newcastle, didn't want to be there, goes to Rangers, didn't want to be there, goes back to Auxerre. And do you know what he does now?
Oh.
This is genuine.
Let's all guess.
He has a job fitter. Out with football.
Not a billion
miles off, actually. He lives in Auxerre. You'll be stunned to know.
Shock.
And he's a swimming pool salesman.
Not bad. Not bad.
I mean, he owns the business. When I say, you know, he's not like old Gil. Yeah,
he's not Gil.
I like picturing him muttering about his boss, Mr. Thibodeau, every Friday. Yeah. Just like, you know.
And he's only got one more payment on that hot plate. but no, he sells swimming pools. That's so, nice. But not somebody that could bear to be away from home.
I just do want to go back to something that Shane brought up. I also wanted to thank the people on Twitter, since we're doing Twitter thanks, for all the people who, when we listed all of our illnesses, really wondered why I didn't have one yet. So thank you so much for jinxing me.
Like, these things comes in threes, and that's me.
I know. Hey, how many of them are us?
Well, right? But that's the shitty part. It was me, you know, one business partner dies, heart attack. Mm-hmm. Other one, hospital, you know, like post effects of a stroke. And then, you know, me and him were talking like on it might have been even Sunday. Like, I wonder who the third one's gonna be. Got it.
Hello.
You know, somewhere out there, because there's so much hate and bile towards Rangers and anything Rangers adjacent, there has to be a sports broadcast on the Tim side that is tracking us right now, you know, all through our middle age. At some point, I go, well, David Edgar coming off early with a couple of strokes. That's really good seeing him on the scoreboard. Nicholson just before the half with what we thought was a nothing burger for asthma. Turns out VAR helped us out. It's good. It was a heart attack. Van Allen, nothing on the board yet, but we're looking forward to the second half because he has a history of cancer in his family, and he drinks at shows like an open micer who's 20 years old. So look forward to see something from him later.
Not a sausage. Speaking of which, it's funny, and Shane and I were discussing this, that when you come out of something like this, and it was the same with me when, you know, a doctor and being in, because you get all the, it's the equipment, isn't it, Shane, that does you. It's,
oh, God.
This is serious. Well, that's,
I mean, just,
you know, when they stick you in a machine. And, yeah. And you're like, oh, hold on here. This isn't, you know, this isn't usual. And it was the same with me. And you go in, it's all this high-tech equipment. You're like, shit, this must be serious, you know. Yeah. And you come out and you're sitting and you know, talk to your loved ones and friends and everything. And in my case, I was like, right, gonna have to, you know, big changes in lifestyle here required, can't go on like this. And within about 8 hours, that had sort of lapsed to, well, I'll occasionally put a bit of lettuce in my cheeseburger. You know,
I'll tell you what, but, you know, the coolest piece of equipment that they had, it was after I had my angiogram, which, by the way, I got 0 out of 10.
But, God, really? Yeah.
But to get me back off of the procedure table into like a bed, they have like this almost hovercraft for your ass thing. Like the thing that they lay you on is a giant air sac that they can blow air into to make it so that you can just like slide around across shit. I was like, this is the coolest fucking thing ever. Like this would be a perfect snow sled out there. So. Apparently people steal them too. I didn't know that until like Latoya, my nurse, was walking me out. She's like, "Oh, you didn't take the airbag thing?" I was like, "What? You can take that?"
Maybe it's like glasses.
Well, I guess they can't use it. I guess they can't use it.
And, well, yeah, and it's like, covered in dye and everything from you know. Because
tell me that wouldn't be like the best toboggan.
Oh, it was beautiful, man.
Yeah.
God, it was great.
But it's been such a, you know, such a powerfully emotive week, because at the time that I found out about this from Shane, I was actually you know, listening to an audiobook about, believe it or not, the American Revolution, but from the British side.
Oh, good. Finally. Finally, the story can be told.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's not really, because genuinely over here, it wouldn't surprise you to know we don't really talk about that much because, you know, we didn't do too well. At the time, it was considered we didn't do well. Looking at it now,
you're like Kevin Kline in A Fish Called Wanda. Vietnam was a tie.
Yeah, it's more like, do you know, right? When Gerard left and we were all going, oh, it's terrible. And then Geo's come in. That's sort of how we feel now about, you know, the loss of America. It was like, well, looking at it now, maybe not the worst thing. But it was quite interesting because one of the things that became, you know, quite clear is that we're very, very similar people, but there are these little differences, and I include you in this, Todd, you know. For example, let me give you an example, right? Yeah. You pronounce it tomato.
Yes.
Whereas we pronounce it correctly.
You know what? Let's call the whole thing off.
Yeah, it's just those little differences between us, you know. Right. Like, we... Or you spell it C-O-L-O-R, and we spell it the way it's spelled.
Oh, no,
and
we spell it with a U. We spell it with a U.
Yeah,
you're the ones that throw in an extra vowel into aluminum. I have no idea why that happens.
Aluminium. It's our language, right? You know, you fuckers, if you don't like our rules, then get your own language. Okay? But while you're under our house...
Yeah, but we're not in your house anymore.
That's, well, you're out of language.
That's the point of the book.
What do you even call what you speak? English. Because it's just you wholesale took our language and then you come up with like crazy things, and you had a nurse called Latoya, for example.
Like Latin America speaks Spanish. It's not actually, you know, it's not Spanish.
No, it's not.
The same shit.
kind of.
Well, then you have French, which is just completely made up, no matter where the fuck you
If you want, I will carry on my part in Quebecois.
There you go.
Et voici le podcast avec the Rangers et David et Shane.
Bienvenue le Copeland Road Organization podcast. Or sorry, the podcast Copeland Road Organization. There we go.
Guys, if you're going to start this, then I'll have to react the way that any British person would, which is by speaking slowly and louder in English. Because that's what we do in these circumstances. But it did remind me, though, this week that the people who speak the best English in the world, they're not Americans or Canadians, and they're not even British or English people. The people who speak the best English in the world are Nigerian. And it's a fact. It's an absolute fact. And not only that, but Nigeria have the greatest names for, you know, and we laugh and joke about modern names and, you know, archaic names that we have in Britain and how things are changing. And, you know, it used to be there was pretty much a kind of list of names that everybody had. And, you know, these days people kind of make stuff up. Can I just give a shout out? And this is genuine, folks. In the Nigeria squad, there are some absolutely superb names. But my favourite first name, these are first names, Admiral.
Okay.
That's a great name.
That's a good name.
I think we would all agree that that's
well regimented.
Sunshine, it's a lovely first name. Beautiful. I think we would all agree. And my very, very favourite, all one word, no hyphen, God knows.
Beautiful.
Now, that has become my favourite thing because, can you imagine, do you fancy a pint? I see if Admiral and God knows want to come or not.
Right. Yeah. First of all, in the same way that we scrambled to sign Billy King, there's no way that Hibs isn't trying to get Sunshine into their squad right now. Because the headlines, Sunshine on Leith, really just write themselves.
But you should sign God Knows because the who's
God
on
God Knows
first?
That team's not winning anything.
I'm gonna take slight issue with God Knows because it's the same guy at the dog park who names his dog Ask'em. Hey, what's your name? Ask him. Oh, you fucking clever asshole.
No, it's absolutely true, though, because, you know, think of the, as I say, the who's on next, or who's on first, rather. Who's
over. Yeah.
Potential here. Who's that warming up? God knows.
God knows.
You know, it would just be absolutely terrific fun.
I do love
Nigeria opening Twitter back up just in time for this tournament.
Yeah.
Bible Joe content's gonna fly.
Yeah. I also think of the petty thievery that God knows could get away from.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell us who stole the stuff. God knows. No, seriously. I want you. Otherwise.
No. There was a lot of you. No, only God knows. Yes, I God know God. That. But could you tell it? Yeah. Although, right, AFCON. Now it's very, very, I think cliched to take the piss out of AFCON, right? Because, you know, we do that.
It's fucking fantastic.
We do that superior European and US thing, and you know, we have no right to, okay? We don't. We genuinely don't. And you'll see people say, oh, I can't believe we've let you go to this tournament. Just because it's not a big tournament for you or for me or for Shane or for Todd, it doesn't mean it's not a big
massive
tournament
for them. I'm going to give them credit. They do their, like, fixing and bribing right out in the open on television.
Well, That's the thing, right?
Behind the scenes.
I am trying to argue that with people, right? And I'm trying to say, look, just because it's not your cup of tea doesn't mean that it's not a valid cup of tea.
There's no brown envelopes. We're just
and
doing
then
it right
that
here on the phone.
Fucking ref in Tunisia versus Mali. if you haven't seen this, folks, right? The referee blows for full time after 85 minutes, right? So they all go off, and the Mali players are like, there's 5 minutes plus injury time left. They won't leave the pitch, and the Tunisian players are even going, what is going on here? So eventually, after about 50 minutes, it's decided by, you know, the AFCON officials, you need to go back out and play the final few minutes. Firstly, the referee refuses. And then persuasion is there. Then the teams refuse, but eventually they come back out, and the ref then blows for full time at 89:40.
Well, and after giving a red card that VAR overturns, but then he does.
And he refuses. Disgraceful red card that was never a red card in a million years. After not awarding a penalty, that was a penalty that VAR gives, but thankfully for him and, you know, his bank account, they miss anyway.
tell me you don't want to be at work without telling me you don't want to be at work.
Yeah. Tell me it's your last day in refereeing and you're suddenly going to go there.
What was the Paddy Power one? It was like he only paid for 2 hours parking.
Beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful.
I thought I looked. Hadn't he been involved in like a corruption?
Oh yeah.
I mean, he's an AFCON official. All of them have been involved in something at some point.
But wonderfully, you know, how did nobody notice when he turned up with the Rolex wearing a fur coat? That should have been the first clue. But it's just magnificent. There's the you might have seen, you might not, folks. You know the little stretcher. They have the stretcher cart. It's a big tournament, so they have the stretcher cart rather than in Scotland, the St. John's Ambulance. So we can't mock, right, because the St. John's Ambulance men run on with the stretcher here, old school. They've got the little golf cart that brings the stretcher on. Unfortunately, the driver was a bit over-enthusiastic, and he drove it straight into the player who was lying prone on the ground, thus injuring his shoulder as well as his leg.
Well, you know what? Hey, he shouldn't have faked his injury in the first goddamn place.
What a great idea to stop it. Yeah, you can lie there and demand treatment.
But we're going to knock you down with a golf cart.
We're going to drive over you and be able to. It has been magnificent. The tone was set after 30 seconds of the opening game when team's on the attack, this other guy comes steaming in from about the 1920s. Right. Launches himself at the guy.
Had a mustache.
It was like a Scud missile reducer.
Thigh high, not knee high, right? Not knee high, thigh high. Studs right up, takes the guy right out, and the referee books him. Now, this wasn't a bad tackle. This wasn't a red card offence. This was a fucking assault, okay? This was grievous, bodily harm.
Invariably 90 minutes of attempted manslaughter or 85 minutes of match fixing. And either way, it's fucking beautiful. Oh, man. See, this is like Todd knows this, at CONCACAF, like when you get the small island nations. Like when it's just those countries, there's some fucked up machinations going on.
Yes.
Like, if it's us, Canada or Mexico, it's usually on the straight and level. But when you get the central, like Honduras v. Trinidad and Tobago,
usually the 75 minute mark is noted by Briscoe and Logan standing over a guy covered in a bed sheet with notepads out.
Oh, poor Peralta. Oh shit.
Hey Shane.
Hey Tom.
You know how you said like you were your proximity to the hospital. It reminds me of the time I was walking to my physical and I got hit by a car on the way there.
Superb.
Yep.
Well, you want to get your money's worth, don't you?
Well, I did. And so it was beautiful because there's nothing like going to the doctors in a physical state of shock.
It
is the best. And I'm crossing the street and this guy does not see me. It's a Go Transit minivan, and Go Transit is like the Ontario Greater Toronto Area transit system. So this guy just does not see me in the crosswalk, levels me, like just I do like the roll over the hood of the minivan, and I bounce I'm off mid-air. The windshield. Oh yeah, like I'm mid-air and I'm thinking, right, go floppy, mind your head. So I do, and I land on my back, and the guy stops, obviously, because you know something happened. And I look up in the crosswalk. My first thought is, I still have the green walking guy. I still have the ability to walk. So the guy says, "Oh my God, I'm so sorry. We traded information." It's like, it's okay, fine. So I continue walking, a little stiff. And I'm like, should I go to the emergency ward? They're like, well, you're going to your doctor's anyway. Let her figure it out. So I go in And the nurse comes in, she takes the blood pressure and pulse, and I just say to her as she's strapping me in, go, you might find them a little high. And she goes, nope, everything's normal. I went, really? That's interesting. Okay.
Fantastic.
So doctor comes in and she's just like looking at my chart, not even looking at me. So how are you doing? And I'm like, well, I'll tell you, as soon as I was coming here, I got hit by a car. She's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry to hear. Where in the car were you seated? And I was like, no, I was hit walking. She puts down the clipboard. Okay, let's have a look at you. And frozen peas. That's what she, that's what she prescribed.
I loved what they were, you know, going through the health background shit. And, you know, they're like, any major accidents in the past 2 years? And I was like, yeah, I got car, you know.
Sit down.
So, you know, we go through that one, and then, like, we get done. And she's like, all right, anything else? I was like, yeah, I got hit by a car. She goes, no, you already told me that. I was like, no. Again.
Have you ever seen that bit in The Shield, the TV show The Shield, where at the he's to do his confession? And he says, you know, well, I did this and I did that. And the guy says, brilliant, that's us done. He went, no, you're going to need more paper. That would be Shane. that would be Shane going in and describing. But yeah, I like health is something you can't take for granted. But equally, it's surprising because when you get older, I don't feel old, right? I know I'm not young and I don't feel young, but I don't feel old. Right. And I really should. Because my body feels old, but it's this mental thing where you're sort of like, how can Shane have had a heart attack? And then you go, oh yeah, that's right, I actually. And it's the same with me. It's like, how can I be in such bad shape? Oh, of course. So, you know, if people are kind of out there and this is always my argument when folks say, well, why aren't you more kind of anti-drugs? And I'm like, because it's, you know, it's your choice. This will happen to you, but you've got a way up. I'm not going to say I had, you know, it was horrible and there were bad times on it, but you've got to be a grown up about it and say, is it worth it to you to put up with the shit that comes? But I will say to anyone listening, any of the younger listeners, you don't get away with it, right? even if you're getting away with it right now, you don't get away with it. It will come back, and it comes back later on when you are, you know, thinking, hey man, cleared that hurdle. Nope, the hurdle fucking rises, right?
it chases you down like a right back at AFCON. It just pads your ass, and then you get booked for it.
So trust me, guys, there is no, you know, so you might be having the time of your life, although, you know, it's fair to say that under the pandemic, I don't think many young people are having the time of their life, in all honesty. Although we can go to the games again over here. We can.
Yeah. Oh, what's that like?
Well, I haven't been to one yet. But
I feel bad. Our buddy William, he'd reached out to me because he's in Chicago next week and he was going to come out and stay at the, you know, the nice downtown hotel here for the Aberdeen match. You're going to watch it and everything. And now I'm just going to be stuck at home. So, although I will give him, like, he preemptively, he's like, yeah, I saw you had a heart attack. So we just canceled the hotel. Like, that's fair.
How much did you not want to do that, by the way? If that?
No, I
no, if that's, come on,
no, no, that's like, because I've got our TV on the TVs at the pub and everything. It's nice. Yeah. It's nice.
You know? It's probably not.
Well, then, like, I ran into that guy Friday night whose granddad was from Govan. So that was good. Bought him a round and everything. Thanks to one of our listeners who quickly sent me $5 on the Anchor support thing.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah. Oh, hey, yo, fuck it. Let me get that one out of the way. Kevin Wagum, John Lamont, of course, John O'Fraser, you heard his ad there at the top. Scott Garden, Andrew Simpson, Scotty Gibson, Neil Wells, David Craig, James Barry, Ian Mayer, you're all the $4.99. If you guys want to support the show, just click on the link in the show notes or go to anchor.fm/crowpod and click on support. And then, you know, if you're like John O there, how he has the ad at the front of the show now. That's for the $10 a month. Man, I forgot all my shit that I usually say. I tell you what, dude, I was like trying to say words yesterday after I got out of the hospital, and it's just like shit's not coming out, you know? Like I know what I mean. It's just I just can't do it.
I've hit that stage anyway. To be fair, the doctors did say to me, and you know, I'm getting to my mid-40s and, you know, I've taken a lot of substances. And the doctors said to me after the bleeds in the brain incident, you might find some, you know, reduced functionality kind of thing, right? I was like, fair enough, doubt it, but I don't do that much anyway. But just getting a word, and as you say, it's, you are aware of the word you want, you just can't find it in the word shop in your brain. And yesterday, for example, I was trying to say to Sally, I was trying to explain to her about something that had shrunk, right? Yeah. And I was like, you know, I'm trying to get the word shrinking, and I was like, you know, it's like, look, when it's big and then it's smaller. And she, what the fuck are you talking about? I was like, you know, it begins with an S. It's like, and I'm like, and I'm frantically flipping through the Rolodex in my head and going, I know this fucking word. This is not a complex word. I'm not searching for, you know, antediluvian or anti-disestablishmentarianism. I'm searching for fucking shrinking and could not get it. And about an hour later, I walked through triumphantly and went, shrinking! it's kind of bizarre because it's not, as I say, like you're completely blank. It's
like I was trying to say congestive yesterday, mm-hmm. and somehow I came out with congestive. It's like that's not a word.
My favorite is, like, you know how everyone complains when they get older, they walk into a room and they can't remember why they went in there. The new one is unlocking your phone and just staring at it going, what the fuck was I looking up? What was that? Is it weather? Weather.
Why have I picked this up? Or the worst feeling of, you pick up your phone because there was something you needed to do on it.
Yes.
And not coming. See, when you're speaking, though, about a word that comes out, Shane, that's completely made up. Our good friend Cammy, it's great to have him back on Heartland, right? And Heartland listeners would be.
I look forward to his heavy size once again.
Yeah, well, the other thing I'd maybe forgot in a few months, because as you know, folks, I won't speak to people on the phone. I only speak to people on podcasts. So, I mean, I communicate daily with loads of people, but by text, by messenger, by, you know, not words. So I'd kind of forgotten about Camglish, which is like English, but not, especially when he's nervous, right? So yesterday we're doing the show and I was like, you okay? He's like, yeah, but you're a bit nervy. I was like, you'll be fine. You know, it's just me and you, remember? I know, don't think about the listeners, think about us. Cool. And then about two minutes in, he goes off on one, and some of the words, I was like, they're like English. You know, you can see the etymology of it, but it's not quite recognizably English. So that's always when you can tell folks that Cammy's nervous, or when he's confidently strode down Sentence Avenue with no idea how he's going to get to the end of it.
So yeah, you got the, like, what's the Theo Von bit there, Todd? Is it not the sharpest bowl in the bowl drawer?
Or yes. Yeah.
You ever walk into a sentence, he's just like, how did I get here?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It happens once in a lifetime. The best example I ever heard of that was a guy being thrown out of a pub. This must be about 25 years ago, but a guy being thrown out of the local pub. And, you know, it's one of those pubs where everybody knows each other and he knows the bouncer, but he was drunk. He was being a bit of an arse. And he gets thrown out. He's not getting barred or anything. It's just go home, sober up, see you tomorrow kind of thing, right? But as he's walking out, he turns, you know, with that drunk dignity, you know, that way that you draw yourself up to.
Yes,
you draw yourself up. You're swaying a bit, but you draw yourself up to your
I'm going to show how.
How wrong he was. How wrong he is to throw me out. And again, you know, talk about going off in a sentence that you don't know how to complete. He stood there and they went, well, fuck you. Yeah. fucking fuck. And he clearly wanted another way to end that than fuck, but it was all that he could produce at that moment. He'd started down going for an insult. It wouldn't come, so The standby right. was there. So fuck you, you fucking fuck.
My favorite is when you I am sometimes astounded by the swears my mind will just come up with immediately. But it's interesting when you take your mind off guard and whatever pops up. And I remember this one two my days. One I did and one that my buddy's dad did, hitting his head in the crawl space. I'll do his first, because this one this one is just an arm tattoo for my friend Bill and I. Bill, the guy from Lark Hall who got me into Rangers. His dad is like, I'm going to go into the crawl space to go get something. And we're just watching TV. He goes in, and all of a sudden we just hear this, sweet gun Jesus, fuck! And... sweet gun Jesus fuck, like that's you can't do better than that. No. One day I ran my toe into furniture and out blurted cock smoking ass fuck, and I have no idea why but I remember them to this day. They're just so, you know,
it's the extreme angle. That's what it is. It's the extreme angle that you lose your, you know, perspicacity, but you gain this remarkable, where did that come from?
Yes, exactly.
well, what was it? Mine went to the same guy that banged my foot or something. But mine was Jesus fucking Christ on a taco.
Oh, that's beautiful.
What I came out with.
Yeah. I love the swears that put Jesus in different things. Like Jesus Jesus fucking Christ on a bike is the best one ever. You know, and that is the gold standard by which we use these things. But anything where you put Jesus in a situation,
in a canoe, in a hedge.
Jesus fucking Christ on the elevator from Mad Men, like anything, you know.
The weird thing is in Scotland, you know, we swear a fair bit, okay, and we probably have a more laissez-faire approach to the use of swears than most places. But a very common phrase here, very, very common phrase, is the phrase Jesus fuck, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Where if you want to describe something that's a little bit shocking, a little bit bad, you go, Jesus fuck, man, right? So years ago, must be about 85, the Jesus and Mary chain had a song on they put on a B-side called Jesus fuck, right? Scottish phrase. And the pressing plant, who were making back in vinyl, of course, refused to press that single. They absolutely would not do it, right? The workers at that plant said, this is, you know, it was the 80s, but still, you know, we were still a post-secular society, but they were like, that is so wrong and so rude. And, you know, the Mary Chain management tried to explain it and said, well, no, it's in Scotland. It just means, you know, for fuck's sake, basically, right?
Yeah.
And they said, no, we're not doing it. So they would agree after compromise to Jesus suck, which
is worse,
which is Jim Reid from the Mary Chain said sounds to me far, far worse, right? You know, that's just like that's incredibly bad, I would have said, but yeah, that was what they went with.
Hey, you know, speaking of Jesus, here's a story about a man who fucked around too many times and found out, and now he's gone to meet a savior.
Okay.
Florida man.
Hey!
John Kuzwanski. I don't know how. Kuczwanski, some Polish name. Anyway, okay. I'm going to read you a couple of his tweets here, which, you know, thankfully his Twitter feed will never be updated again. From November 24th, he said, here's an easy test. If the people Kyle Rittenhouse shot did the exact same thing to him in front of a police officer, would the police officer have shot them to prevent the potential killing of Kyle? Okay. December 9th, he wanted to tell everybody that he just entered the win Luago Arms Alien Pistol from Classic Firearm, valued at $5,000. Hashtag sweepstakes. Hashtag Luago Arms. Hashtag Alien Pistol. Blah, I don't even know. Right. So this guy is like a Republican operative in the state of Florida. Okay. And a real piece of shit looking guy, just a real fat piece of shit looking guy.
Right.
Now we roll back here quickly before the incident last week to 2014. John was in an incident at the intersection of Thomasville Road and Bannerman Road, somewhere near Tallahassee. Okay. Where he pulled a gun on someone with like a laser sight. And the motorist called the sheriff's office and reported a heavy set white male had pointed a small black handgun with a mounted laser while stopped next to him at the intersection. So they found this motherfucker and arrested him. And, you know, probation, and he can't have guns and everything. They finished his probation 4 years ago, right? So last week, let's fast forward to January 6th. John Kiswanski caused an auto accident that began a chain of events that would end with the shootout and his own death. He drifted his BMW out of the lane at the same intersection where he was arrested 8 years ago for pointing a gun at someone.
He should really have stayed away from that place.
Yeah. So he hits a guy in a Prius, right? So they pull into the parking lot there at the gas station.
Now getting a little bit of sympathy for him, but okay, go on.
Yeah, well, right. Yeah.
Guy in a Prius.
See, but the, John's going to make a fatal error about Prius drivers here in a minute. So the Prius driver gets out. He starts yelling at this dickbag, right? So he goes and gets into his car to wait for the cops to show up. John Kiswanski gets his BMW and starts ramming the Prius in the driver's side door, pulls out his gun and tries shooting out his window to shoot this guy, right? Thinking, here's a dumbass hippie in a Prius. Nothing bad could happen. Prius guy reaches under his seat and pulls out a .38, fires one shot through the windshield of John Kiswanski's car, killing him immediately.
Can I just say that of all the guns that you would expect from a Prius or Prius to you driver, a .38 is not what I would have expected.
No. No, 22, you know, you at like a best. 9mm, maybe something.
You know, well, yes.
The thing about it is that I would have thought that a Prius driver would have one of those ones like John Malkovich had in The Line of Fire.
Right.
You know, that was made out of like tofu and hope that could go through. You know, you'd think he'd have an eco-friendly gun.
Yeah.
That wouldn't have all like metal and shit in it. But that you get me onto, Shane, the electric cars. Sally, my wife, a bit of an eco nut. Decides to buy an electric car, right? Because clearly the stone cutters haven't been on it this year. And we, you know, she goes and she gets this thing. It's a Renault Zoe, for those of you who know your cars. I do not, right? I don't drive.
Well, to be fair, Renault's not actually a car because it's French.
Well, so, like I say,
it's something with four wheels and maybe a motor. I'm not really sure.
I don't take any, you know, interest in it. I use it occasionally when I need a lift. That's it, right? That's basically it. Generally, I take public transport. So Sally said, I want this car. I says, okay, we won't need to get petrol, etc. Okay, makes sense. So can you see the problems here? Because I can, because you charge these fuckers up like a phone. For those of you who don't do them. Now, look, firstly, there's no noise with it, which is eerie. Okay.
Yeah, that really bothers me because, like, well, we have weird. A Prius, and, like, when it's in full electric mode, it's weird.
It's silent, right?
Yeah.
It's absolutely I don't like bizarre. It. So there is that. And
oh, when you're about to cross the street walking the dog and one of those turns the corner, you don't hear it. It's just.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's two poop bags that are needed at that moment.
They are, you know, maybe we'll get more used to it as we, you know, become
well,
more.
Well, they're trying to do something like the automobile companies are trying to like introduce noises, like external noises to
them.
Yeah.
So you,
because I obviously we're my childhood. Also trained to being able to hear a car engine.
Yeah. I'm just putting hockey cards in the spokes.
Yeah.
So she buys this thing. It's a perfectly cromulent looking car, right? Nice wee car. She's quite happy with it. She turns up with this thing. She's like, yeah, she's very excited. And as Sally and I are, you know, we have differing views on what the individual can do in terms of saving the planet. And I'll be quite upfront here, folks, at the risk of sounding like, you know, one of Shane's most, you know, hated Republicans. I couldn't give a fuck. Okay, I'll be dead. I don't care. I'd like to pretend, but you know, I'm not good at that, right? And I'll, you know, save this thing and that thing. But you know, right? Also, because I've never driven, I feel I'm sort of owed. You know, I think I've got a very low carbon footprint. Mm-hmm. so you can all fuck off, basically.
Yeah, you should be cruising around like a Shelby GT500 or something like that. Yeah.
But and it's just, you see the thing about, last week, China admitted that it had 116 new extra polluting factories in the last 4 months. And I'm like, well, thank fuck I washed out that soup tin and stuck it in recycling then.
Yeah. Well, wasn't it Belgian Airways? It's like, we fly 3,000 empty flights a year.
Yes! 3,000 empty flights to keep our space in the rotation. So, yeah. Man, am I glad that I sorted out the cardboard from it. Yeah. But she buys this thing, right? And you've got to plug it in. You've got, like a phone. Yeah. And it really is like one. So, the other day, I say to her, Sally, can I have a lift to X, right? And it's like 2 miles. And she goes, no problem. She walks in and goes, actually, no. And I was like, why not? And she went, I forgot to put the charger in. And I'm like, we have a car that can't go anywhere because it has run out of charge. Right? That, like, tell me that this is, not stupid. And she's like, no, it's really good. And then the thing that brought it to a head is, I got the electricity bill this week.
Oh, fuck. Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, yes. There we go.
I pay the electricity bill, right? Yeah. So I said to Sally, I was like, you're saving all this money on petrol. She's like, yeah. You were going to save this money
on petrol. The lucky bill's up $300.
I'm fucking paying it. And she's like, you can get a grant from the government. And I said, have you? She went, well, no. And I said, well, how much fucking use is that to me then? I said, you can get a grant. You just haven't. I meant to do that when I got the car, but you know what it's like. I was like, no, I do not know what it's fucking like. So I am as anti Prius and anti electric cars this week as right. They are a stupid idea. And look, the planet will probably come to an end. I get that, but again, I cannot stress this enough. I will be dead, and therefore,
that's our parents' fault. That's not our fault. Yep.
You can go even further, industrial revolution, 19th century. Fuck, what to do with me, mate? They were spewing out the dark satanic mills. That's on them. That's not on me. But Lauren, my stepdaughter, is very, Jesus. There's a hippie element run through Lauren. And, she'll get yoga and all that pish. And she'll come in and start lecturing me. She's like, see all this food you eat, the processed food? Yeah, it's bad for the environment. I was like, Lauren, is there anything that isn't bad for the environment? Because everything I fucking do,
the problem is humans are bad for the environment.
Yes.
Yes.
And there's too many of us. Yeah. And guess what the environment's going to do to set the balance? It sent a bug. That's what it did.
It burned Australia to the fucking ground.
Yes.
we're going to get another ice age to get rid of us. And it's like, I can't be held responsible.
Yeah, that's called nuclear winter, David. That's what
But it's like everything, right? I'll go and I'll lift up a packet of crisps and Lauren will go, are they organic? And I'm like, they're crisps. And she'll go, yes, but you can get like organic parsnip
Fuck's
crisps.
Sake.
I don't want organic parsnip. I said, Lauren, these are space raiders. They're little maize crisps that are shaped like a spaceman. Does that sound to you like an organic product?
This was the issue. I had this last week. I wanted a Reese's peanut butter cups. The little two peanut butter cups come in the nice bright orange packaging. Very good if you put them in the fridge for like a half hour before you eat them, But they taste a certain way because they're a Reese's cup. Right.
Yeah.
So she'd stopped at the organic store, which, whatever. She was getting something to make tamales with that they carry there, which, by the way, it's almost tamale time again. So
here we go.
If anybody has a spare room.
Are you allowed tamales now?
God, I don't know, because they're pretty much like half lard. I'm not sure that's in my wheelhouse anymore.
Yeah, right, I'm pretty sure that's for both now, man.
She comes home with this like Nathan's or Peter's or something, like chocolate peanut butter cup, organic. That I was like, that's not a fucking Reese's. She goes, oh, it's the same thing. I was like, I can promise you. It's not the same thing. Like, the reason Reese's tastes good is because it tastes like Reese's. This is going to be like some creamy bullshit fucking peanut butter and some like nasty ass organic fucking chocolate bullshit that probably isn't even chocolate. It's made from the dirt that they grow the cocoa beans in or something. I took one bite, spit it out. Yeah. Oh, it can't be that bad. I was like, you try it. Yeah. She took one bite. Went, oh, that's fucking awful. Oh, yes, there's a reason. Reese's taste good because they're Reese's.
It's like accidentally buying them at Bulk Barn. You go, oh, there's a bin of these. These have to be good. Wrong.
No, there's a again, this is one of those phrases that you hear a lot from people where they say, well, yeah, it's just as good as the brand name product. No, it isn't.
No, it's not.
And they go, no, you're just paying for the name. Fine.
Yep. You're right. I am.
Yeah. It got a name for a reason.
Yeah. I'm going to drink Dr. Exactly. Pepper, not Dr. Thunder, not Dr. Mountain, not Dr. What are you like? Oh. No, Dr. Pepper.
There is a reason why, you know, we decided to make this one the brand name and not that one.
You know, speaking of off-brand merchandise, there's going to be a lot of people in New York City having to learn how to use the washing machine settings at the laundromat here soon. Because all the James Sands kits are starting to arrive in New York.
Yeah.
And I feel awful for these people. Because, you know, I mean, we all know what's going to happen to these shirts after the second time they put them through the laundry, right? Mm-hmm. We know. Mm-hmm. We know what's coming. And I can only imagine the emails that Castor is going to pretend like they responded to from all these people over the coming months. It is great to see, though. I mean, I said this on Twitter, like, it's throwback to, you know, go to MLS matches and you see, like, Reina tops or Mo tops or... you know, Beasley or Bocanegra or whatever. It's good. I mean, it's something I've been talking about for as long as me and you guys have talked, and longer than before that. Yep. Like, you have to keep the North American side. There's enough of a fan base here that if you give us something to show people, we go make new fans. Like, that's it. And now, hopefully, we can keep doing this again. But for the love of God, since Wasserman is also his agent, please find some money down the back of a couch somewhere to go get Gio Reyna.
Yes.
I think that it would need to be a hell of a big couch.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know. Dave can give us like a quarter of his wine cellar and quit bitching in the fucking record every goddamn time. Like, come on, man. Knock it off.
I just want to, that's going to be interesting because any time on Twitter that I see something, you know, about Dave King, even praiseworthy, I get loads of people coming out and attacking me, you know, like, people we know. So Shane said that it wasn't me. Okay, nothing to do with me. Before you then start coming out and going, oh, look at this guy, you know, club shell, etc. It's like I said, fuck all. Okay. Shane did. Andy's had a heart attack. Leave him alone. And we'll just get on with that. I'm just now sitting at them. The worst thing I've ever tasted in my life is, you know, Richard Branson, he a virgin.
Whoa.
Okay.
No, I haven't tasted him.
He's a virgin. Okay. Because that is literally the joke that I make every time with my wife, and she hates it. She's like, that is the worst thing I've put in my mouth. And I've been in student films, and she hates that.
Well, he brought out, because he does all these, like, things, right, and some of which are very successful, hence why he's very rich. The record label was very successful, and some of which are not. And one of his not so successful products was Virgin Cola. Now,
oh Jesus,
you and I might think to ourselves, see of things to go into, you know, see of markets to enter. Coke and Pepsi have got that one pretty much sewn up.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Yeah, it's you know they're quite popular and people are happy with it.
You get some like over here you get like RC Cola and you know like there's some regional brands that
oh yeah
get again, in but you know yeah
Lauren, again we'll bring
I mean look Coca-Cola has been by far the largest cola company in the world for over 100 years and they advertise more than anybody. So they make sure they fucking stay there. Pepsi just goes out and acquires navies from countries.
Yeah, but Russia, a good navy to get, I think you'll find. But, it's not a market I would go into, but maybe that's why, you know, if you're a businessman at that level, you need to be very arrogant. So he brings out this thing, Virgin Cola, and, you know, novelty value. You think, sure, try it, right? Mm. It tasted like somebody had taken a Coca-Cola, allowed it to go flat, and then broke up some painkillers into it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It was fucking vile. And I'm like, right, firstly, okay, it's a stupid idea. But then who goes, You know, this is the stuff. So I got friends around one night and I said, you know, do you want to do this taste test? Almost like the old Pepsi challenge. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I want you to do the taste test, right? And I put in order Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and Virgin Cola. Yeah. And I said to them, right, let's give this a go. You know, just tell me what you think. So there was some, you know, people between one and two. Some would go, that's Pepsi, when it wasn't, and vice versa, right? Yep. A lot of people got them. But, you know, some people, because they're not a million miles removed, right? There's a slight difference, but not a million miles removed. Everybody went, that, what the fuck is that? That must be the Virgin Cola. And I'm like, who the fuck came up with that product and went in and said, this, you know, is going to be... And immediately that thing, Todd said earlier, that almost in about 2 weeks after launch, you would go into supermarkets and it'd go, buy 24 cans of Virgin Cola for 60 pence. And you're like, it's not going well, is it?
No. We still have it here, Canada's Wonderland, which is like an amusement park. It's like Six Flags, but it's Canada. It's funny now because it used to be owned by Paramount. So they would have like a whole bunch of movie themed rides and stuff like that. Well, it's now like, you know, like when you see like a coffee shop that was part of a franchise and then the franchise is yanked out from under them, but they retain ownership. And so they kind of jury rig the sign to look like there was a really shitty, there still is. It's a really shitty coffee franchise in Toronto called Coffee Time. And there is this one place, horrible coffee, good lemon cranberry muffins, but shitty coffee. This one franchise, I don't know how they lost it. They got the franchise removed from them, but they kept ownership. So what they changed, they looked and went, how can we do? So they took part of one letter and cut it aside. And so now it was called Coffee Tip. Makes sense. So Paramount Canada's Wonderland was like this. Paramount owned them for a while, then Paramount went, this is fucking stupid, we're not making any money.
We're gonna go out and get the FBFL contract and investing in theme parks.
Yeah, so you can see all of the old signage, but it's been painted over. So like the Top Gun ride
is
now.
It's like when somebody buys a U-Haul truck for their business.
it literally looks like the like if you saw like Japanese translations of English phrases. Like it's just, you know, like the Top Gun airplane ride, which was just like this really rocking roller coaster, is now something like fly fast, or the Towering Inferno ride was like drop really quick or something. I don't know. But like in its heyday, it was overrun by Pepsi, and I had a friend of mine in high school that called me out on this stupid thing. I was a huge Coca-Cola fan and derided Pepsi to the point of belligerence. And he rightly called me out and goes, there's so much trouble in the world and the hill you're dying on is the Pepsi war. Like that's the Cola Wars is where you're drawing your line. And it was overrun by Pepsi. It was sponsored by Pepsi, the Canada's Wonderland. So they had the Pepsi challenge there. And I was like, I fucking know this. It's like, as soon as I'll take your challenge right now. And it's like, this is the best thing I've tasted all day. Okay. And I would take that small sip, figured out that was Coke, down the Pepsi one to get that out of the way. And then I would just savor the Coca-Cola. I like that. And then this very, you know, minimum wage paid, you know, lackey was like, yeah, you win, you get Coke. Okay.
Brilliant. Well done, you. But yeah, look, if I'm gonna go to war, I'm gonna go to the Cola War, because wars are really dangerous. So
yes,
intensely.
Yes, but again, Pepsi has nuclear submarines.
Yes. Yes.
Also, at the risk of falling out with my good friend Todd, Pepsi's better. So.
What are you from, Quebec?
No. Jesus. No, I'm from a country with taste, Mr.
Jesus Christ.
I'm a Pepsi out of a can guy. That's my thing.
But, you know, I'm from a country with taste. Mr. Rush are our national symbols.
Oh, I don't like it. One of the podcasts over here that I listen to is an Ottawa Senators podcast. And one of the guys is like this. Picture what a progressive rock fan would look like. That's one of these guys. And they sometimes get beer sponsorships on the podcast. And one of them was one of the Toronto breweries put out a Rush pale ale or a lagered ale or something like that. They put out a Rush beer, right? The one guy liked it, and I went, so Rush the beer, and I posted this to him, and I said, so it sounds like Rush the beer is very much like Rush the band. Canadian, overrated, and only liked by white guys with ponytails.
It reminds me of that brilliant line in Futurama when Fry's about to battle the space invaders, literally, right? Machine. And he says, it's Saturday night, I've got no date, a 2-liter bottle of Shasta and my old Rush mixtape. that sort of sums it up for me, I've got to agree. But I just, you know, Pepsi's better, and it's red, white, and blue, so it's staunch. Yanis Hadji is the face of them. And see? I've got a Yanis Hadji Pepsi can here.
What more do you need?
We
are going to keep the show short today because I can't really be up and mobile.
No.
But I said we were going to do no questions. We're going to take two quick, and then we're going to get out of here. I feel bad. I have everybody ask us all these questions, and then they go, I have a heart attack, you know, an hour and a half later.
Any fucking excuse.
You know, Jesus Christ, let me tell you. See, Scotia wants to know, who's your favorite non-Rangers player from each of our countries?
That's a good one. I'm not gonna lie, I don't know an awful lot of Canadian footballers. basically Colin Miller and Scott Arfield. Name me some Canadian players, Todd, and I'll pick one. For the years.
Over the years, Pascalito.
He'll do.
Maurice Richard. There we go.
USA. There were some pretty deep non-Rangers ones that were good. John Hawkes, back a while, was.
I have an easy one.
Big Brian McBride fan.
Alfonso Davies is just lighting it up.
Oh fuck! Yeah. Of course, Alfonso Davies. Yeah, by a billion million miles.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. He's wonderful to watch. Really like watching him.
Craig Forrest. He was
Craig Forrest.
Ipswich and West Ham.
I can't believe I've got Clint Hill. Clint Dempsey. Clint Dempsey.
Dempsey. Yeah.
Clint Dempsey. Yeah. He was my favorite US player.
Those are easy because we don't have sort of like the tribal baggage with these guys. Like we can pick like international stuff like that. But like finding a non-Rangers Scottish player that you really enjoy that's not Rangers.
Yeah,
player.
No.
No, it's going to be quite a tough one. And I'm legit trying to go through, you know, various players at various clubs over the years, but most of them at some point have, a spell at Rangers. I had an admiration for, shall we say, wouldn't go much further than that, but Miksu Patalainen. You know, the name, the fact that he was 40 stone.
Can I just say, anytime someone mentions his name, I immediately get a Steve Miller band song in my head. Am I the only one who gets that?
Well, putting a bet on in Scotland.
Putting
a bet on in Scotland is called putting a line on. It's a Miksu over here, folks. Yeah. You know, that's what I'm going to put a Miksu on this afternoon. Also because, you know, I happened to be in the Hibs players lounge after they beat Hearts 6-2, and he was drinking, his round was four cans of Carlsberg, who were the sponsors at the time, each time, and by the end up he was in his underpants on a table pouring it Steve Austin style all over it, you know, just literally opening the four of them up together and pouring them all over themselves. I think I've mentioned that before, so he was always fun. And in terms of actually a good player from the last 10-15 years, Kilmarnock had a guy called Alexei Eremenko. I don't know if you remember him.
Yeah.
And he was my type of footballer because he was fat, He was incredibly lazy. But yet he would occasionally, and it was just occasionally.
Yeah, that one moment of brilliance every 270 minutes.
Yeah, he would do something extraordinary. Like you know, you were like, Jesus Christ, man, how the fuck did he manage that? And then he would be so content with himself that he would then just go wander over to the halfway line, hang about there till full time, smoking a cigarette. So I think there's something, you know, brilliant about the little fat genius who, yeah, when he can be, yeah, and our equivalent of that was Russell Latipe.
Yeah.
Who could do? I remember one time.
Yeah, I could do anything with football, but
I remember
just once.
Could be. I went into the for a pint one Sunday afternoon in a place called the Hogshead Bar in Shawlands. People remember the Hogshead Bar in Shawlands, and Russell Latipe was there on his own, right, on a Sunday afternoon. So I went over and, you know, hi Russell, maybe at Rangers, we're a great place. So thanks very much, lovely guy. Then went, you know, to meet my friends, and he sat there in the afternoon on his own. And he drank at least 6 pints of Guinness, and he was smoking Marlboro Red cigarette.
Beautiful.
Fucking magnificent, man.
Let's get a second quick one out of the way, then we're going to boogie. Neil Buchanan. So what item would you add to the Castor RFC range that's not already there? Now, he gave us a picture of a gorgeous Weber kettle grill.
Yep.
Which I'm actually buying a new one this year, although mine's going to be like a copper orange. Just because it'll stay cleaner outside than the blue one. But so yeah, what would we add? I mean, is there room left in the Castor range? I mean, I'm sure there's a James Sands range. I'm sure there's probably email I haven't checked for the Jermaine Defoe is leaving range.
Oh yeah. my circus blew at that barbecue. I was just like, come on.
I mean, those things. I'll tell you. That Todd, that grill is about $160, and it'll last you fucking 15 years if you get a cup for it. Those things are fantastic grills.
Yep.
I like these modern X ranges where you get two things coming together. You know, and Castor did it with Rangers. Remember Castor X Rangers, and you see it a lot. You know, Tommy Hilfiger X Lewis Hamilton, all that shit. And the one crossover I would love to see is Castor X Balenciaga. Or however the fuck you pronounce that, because I am convinced, absolutely fucking convinced, that Balenciaga is not a clothing brand, that it is in fact an elaborate social experiment to see just how desperate people are to show they've got a bit of money. Now, I like to spend money on shite, folks. I admit that, right? And I'm quite happy to go out and I'll buy some stuff. I could buy a perfectly good, you know, winter coat for a lot cheaper than buying a Hugo Boss one, for example. So I am a wee bit label, you know, I'll admit to that. It's a weakness we all have. But some of their stuff is taunting you, right? At least, you know, the Hugo Boss or whatever will be nice, right? Their stuff is sort of like, they're daring you. They're going, we actually are. This is actually real. Would you buy this? Look at it. And this week, the two in Balenciaga I saw, and thank you to the gentleman who posted them on Follow. Do you know the shoes Crocs?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Don't call them shoes, though.
The abomination that is footwear.
Yeah.
Balenciaga have got a pair of black Crocs, right? Mm-hmm. And it's Balenciaga X Crocs, right? So they're in on it. And they've put a rubber, because, you know, the shoes are made of it, heel on it.
Yeah.
And they call them evening wear shoes. Yeah. £450.
Nope. Nope.
They also have a high-vis jacket. Mm-hmm. And it is a high-vis jacket. The same high-vis jacket you'll get in Screwfix for £30, right? It has the Balenciaga logo on the back, and it's £2,890. Now, I have zero fucking doubt that that is a challenge to the audience. So I'd like to see the Castor X Balenciaga range for my own pair. I want to see just how, what Castor have to do to stop me buying something.
They stopped me at Crocs. Crocs are if libertarians were shoes, because it's all about your comfort and the absolute disgust of everyone else. Fuck you.
Yeah, Castore haven't branched into, you know, to Crocs yet to give them their due. Yeah. But yeah, they're just the most awful fucking products. But in terms of a genuine, you know, product, have you seen that we're bringing a range of home appliances?
No.
Is that right?
Yes,
Rangers. Oh, the Rangers range. Nice.
Not Castore. They cannot be pulled up in this. It's an electric company called Swan, and you can buy a Rangers kettle, a Rangers toaster, a Rangers fridge, and I believe, Shane, a Rangers barbecue.
Oh, damn it. God damn it.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
this is all just for the people that have the back garden bars.
But in true Rangers style, it was announced just before Christmas, right?
Yeah.
And the website went live, press release went out. I went onto the website, and everything was sold out.
Yeah, of course.
Well, it's kind of like me trying to find the Kip book the other day, and of course we don't actually sell it on the website. But you know, it's kind of like Netflix or Amazon offering you exclusive behind the scenes documentary to record maybe the most important season in the history of the club, and your managing director turning it down. You know, who would do such a thing?
But see, the problem with this is, right, and everybody's saying, imagine you and I both know the second that he agreed to that, it would have gone tits up.
Yep.
Don't ask me how it would have gone tits up. If there's a rule to be learned from these behind-the-scene documentaries is, I'm convinced the makers of it turn up and immediately start sprinkling lead into the food of the players. It goes tits up seconds afterwards. You know. Uh-huh. Also, Alan McGregor would probably be in jail if people were walking around following these.
But I think now would be a good time to, you know, because you've probably got some lessons that you learned just from the very thought of doing it. Things are slightly more, under control since we've actually won that title now.
Yep.
You know, Shagger's getting ready to retire. Defoe's not fucking every, you know, married woman within a
four might radius. Be.
Well, yeah, but, you know, it's not our problem.
Not
anymore.
Our problem anymore, yeah. I'm superstitious about them because I've watched, you know, Sunderland and I've watched Tottenham and I'm like, dear God, no. You know,
the Crystal Palace one, that one was great. I don't know if you watched that.
No.
I think it's on Amazon. You know, it's a bit like them coming back from the brink of, financial despair and everything. It was very good.
Haven't watched the least one yet, and apparently that one is just, if you love hate giggling, it's apparently quite good.
And we know we do.
All I can say is I don't even need to see it. I'm just saying Boston series. That's all you need to say.
God,
it's gorgeous.
Oh man, yeah. I'm trying to think. What? When Eagles Dare? That's what it's called. It's on Amazon.
Did you see that absolutely brilliant Onion story from a few years ago, but they reposted it last week? It's Bill Simmons tells wife, while lasagna good, not as good as Boston Red Sox 1986.
Oh, man. Well, speaking of, since we're about to get out of here, Onion headline of the week. Dying dad wondering if you hit traffic on way to hospital.
Beautiful.
That's my dad. That is my dad.
Beautiful.
It's 100% my dad.
Everybody. You know, that's going to immediately sag into a story about George, who used to live up, he lived up, by Jerry. He lived over there by Jerry. Remember
him? Anyway, it doesn't matter. Listen,
on Tuesday night, remember?
That is absolutely my dad. He could be stood there with his arm on fire. And I'd be like, Dad, your arm's on fire. He's like, never mind. Anyway, your Auntie Jean was saying the other day, you know, that's my dad.
Todd, of course, you can find all his stuff at heyitstva.com. Find him on Twitter at heyitstva. Thank you, Todd. What's coming up?
Well, another lockdown.
Yeah, there is
so,
that.
Yeah, we got that. So
I got the feeling ours is coming. So,
yeah, man. We actually have another live show online coming up at the end of the month, last Friday, the 28th, I believe it is. It's going to be a write 'em up show, which is at the Unknown Comedy Club. You can buy tickets there. Or just follow at HayesTVA for details, because I'll be pounding out that promo as soon as I get everything lined up. So watch that.
Good shit. David, of course, everything on Heart and Hand. You can find him on Twitter at IroxRocks. Thank you, David.
Pleasure. Great to join you. You look after yourself.
Nice to actually be able to.
Great to hear your voice, Shane.
Yeah. Yes,
you look after yourself. Go rest.
You don't hear that one too often, guys.
Yeah. Go rest.
Yeah. And, you know, if you want to help me pay my $48,000 medical bills, like I said, just click on that support link in the show notes there.
Right.
And if you do have a business or something that you want to promo, just I mean, it's cheap fucking advertising. It's $10 a
month. Really is.
You
really
know, is. I mean, come on. And there's like, there's probably 9,000 people that listen to this thing every single week for some fucking reason, if not more. I don't know how many you have. Yeah, well, never mind.
But 7,000, so yeah.
Okay, so you got 7, I got 6, so there's 13. There you go. Find 2,000 bears and 11,000 Tims. Every single week.
Yes. Scanning and listening.
Oh man, I'm sure next week. I'm sure we're going to be off put a little bit because the sheep
playing on the Tuesday game.
I would like to thank all the Tims that are listening. The same way my dog listens to my speech, waiting to hear the words cheese, banana, or melon. It's going to say at some point.
You know, me and David share the files for these shows over a FTP link. So,
do you?
Yeah, damnedest thing.
Yeah. Until they invent a DOB one, we can't be
right. Exactly,
we cannot be accused of anything.
All right, that's it. We'll be back next week. Everybody, be good. Thanks again for all your messages. It really meant a lot. And we will talk to you all then. Bye.
Some people call me the space cowboy.